Father, we thank you so much that today is your day, and today, Lord, we can learn more about you. And I pray, Father, that this morning you would open up your word to us in ways you never have before. I pray as we look over these scriptures, as we talk about your faithfulness and your goodness, about you filling the void in our life, that, Father, something in us would be filled this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have been looking at how God is in the business of filling voids. In fact, in the very, very beginning, in Genesis 1, 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning. That's very clear, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light filled the void of the deep. And that light continues today to fill the void in our life. As we know, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light that shines and opens up a whole new life for us. And we know that. When we come to know Christ better, God starts opening up our lives, and he starts filling the voids, and he starts shedding light on what we need and what we need to do, and what we don't need and what we don't need to do, right? And God makes these areas aware of to us. He makes a greater awareness of himself. He makes an awareness of ourself. He makes us aware of the needs and the reasons that other people are the way they are. And he makes us aware of situations and events. And he makes us aware of his will in those situations and events. Many, many times we're in situations or we're in an event. We're in a global event right now. We've been in a global event since creation, but everybody now knows about it because the media is just, we're in a global event. Well, good. I hope that they figure out that the global event is everybody needs Jesus, right? Amen? And but when we're in those events, sometimes we look and we go, really, God? Is this, you know? And last week, the week before, I talked about us messing with God, and I really used the wrong terminology, messing with God. Really what we try to do is we try to negotiate with God, right? We don't really mess with God. We're not that dumb. Well, some people are, okay, to mess with God. But we negotiate with God. After we come to know God, after we come into our relationship with Christ, we like to negotiate. Well, you know, God, you know. One time, years ago, I'm going to go ahead and share this. This is really shows you, you know, that even your pastor has grown. Okay? Years and years ago, I was in a financial pickle, to say the least. I had my name on the deed of three houses, and I needed to sell one. Never, ever build three spec houses at the same time. Don't even build one. I wouldn't even build one, even in this market, okay? And we had a similar market, and so I was building spec houses like nobody's business. And then all of a sudden, nobody wanted to buy a house. Well, nobody could buy a house because we had an economic, I hate this word, slow down. I am the kind of person that does not like to slow down. And I really don't like it when the economy slows down and I have all of my eggs in three baskets. So I started to negotiate with God. Well, God. And I was at an evangelistic event, and I went forward, and I told God, if you'll sell my houses, I will give you 10%, 10%, you know, of the profit. Well, let me tell you, God didn't get much because 10% of negative is still negative. And I learned not to negotiate with God and to order my business differently, to trust God instead of my resources. You see, sometimes we're in events to learn something very big, and they can be very painful, but they can be very, very educational. So here we are, okay? We challenged you last week, okay, to let the light of Christ shine into your heart, into your thoughts, and in your ways, and I challenge you to pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalm, okay, 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, when I was negotiating with God, that was offensive. Because I had got myself in that financial pickle, and then I expected God to get me out. I was negotiating. That was offensive to God. I look back now, and it hurts my heart to realize how offensive that is. God's like, really? Jim, I gave you a lot. You just ran ahead of the ball. God knew what was going to happen, and if I would have followed him closer instead of my own desires and my want to be somebody, okay, I probably would have been in a different situation. If I would have been praying this prayer, Lord, search me. God, know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. That last part, lead me in the way everlasting, that's where God gets to lead you in the way everlasting. Instead of, okay, God, I want you to lead me, but, you know, we're all buts, aren't we? At one time or another, okay, we all are, okay? And in that's kind of what we do a lot of times. We try to negotiate. Now, so I want to say, as you were praying this prayer this week, did God show you anything? Boy, now the test. It's like, oh, I didn't know there was a pop quiz. Ah, you know. You know, did God show you anything? It's very possible he did. And if you keep praying this way, God will. And you will grow. And sometimes it will be painful. And sometimes it will be delightful. You know, sometimes people kind of think that God's just the God of pain. And he is the God of delight. The Word of God says so. And if you walk with him, you'll find the delight of the Lord. I mean, it's been really hard not to see the delight in the Lord in our extended fall. I mean, our fall is usually like 24 hours. We've had 3 weeks of fall. And the leaves and the beauty, and it's just like the earth is getting ready to rest. God is delightful. God is very, very delightful. So keep praying that he will show you something, because we are all a work in progress. God never ever stops working. God never ever stops revealing. God never ever stops delighting. God never ever stops correcting. God never ever ever stops loving, ever. So God will show you things primarily in four areas of your life. And I want, Cindy, I want you to put this up. This is a tool that we use as counselors. It's called the Johore window. And just think of that as a four-paned window, you know, the kind that you slide up and down, you know. There it is. And over on the far left, this is who you are. All four of these is an area of your life. This is highly simplified, and that's why I like it. There's a lot of subcategories and yada, 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 and a lot of stuff, you know, that the different people have just kind of overburdened us with lots of facts. But I like it because it's simple and it works, okay? You've got that open area of your life. You know this area, and it's known by others. It's known by others, okay? I mean, you think about it. You know, here it is. This window is open. That little pane right there, it's clear. In fact, it should be kind of a white and a clear. You see, it's something that you do. It's something that you want to do. It's something that you want to change. And that area is not only known by you, but you share that with your friends. You share it with your friends. You share it with the people around you. You know, like people, when you're smaller, or even when you're my age, what do you want to do when you grow up? And you tell people. Because it's open. It's very, very open. Okay, others are aware of this. You see, your actions, your attitudes that have the most support for change are right there in that open spot. And God is always trying to move those other three into that open spot. And the Word of God, it confirms this. We're going to look at it. He is trying to move our blind spot. Okay, now a blind spot, and we're going to look at that a little bit more, but I want to explain these a little bit. The blind spot is known to others, but not known to you. It's when you're being a total douche, and you don't know it, but everybody around you can tell. Okay, you're just being a terrible person. You know, and everybody's going, boy, you're being a terrible person. And you don't know you're being a terrible person. You know, it's kind of like when you try to be sarcastic with five-year-olds and they look at you and they say, that is really dumb. And you thought it was kind of cute, right? That's your blind spot. How about your hidden spot? Those are spots. That's what you hide from everybody else because you don't want them to know about. It's things that maybe you're ashamed of. OK,
Okay?
And not just, a lot of people, they think, oh yeah, those are the sins, that's what we're ashamed of. But the hidden things are also things that you're afraid to share because you're afraid you'll fail in. We're going to talk about that. And then there's the unknown to all. You don't know it, and other people don't know it. But it's there, and God knows it. And God is so good because sometimes he's so gracious, he moves it over into your hidden spot first. You know, God is a God of love. He's a God of graciousness. He's a God of patience. And he doesn't say, well, here's a hidden spot and it needs to be taken care of, so I'm going to put it in the open spot and the whole world is going to know it and you're going to know it all at the same time and you will melt down. But he doesn't do that because he's God. And sometimes he moves it up to the blind spot because you're not listening, but your friends are and they're watching. Now, isn't that amazing? Have you ever seen yourself as a window before? Now you're never going to get it out of your head. Because there it is. Your window. Okay? Now, that known by self and known by others. Okay? These are actions or attitudes, like I said, that you want to share with other people. They're things that you have. It may be good or bad. Years and years ago, a good friend of mine, Sean Dunn, we realized that we were being overly sarcastic. I know that you probably should not be sarcastic at all. Sometimes it's hard, and it's not a hidden spot with me. I know it's there, okay? You know? I saw a t-shirt this week. It said, wait for it. And then it has one of those loading deals like a computer does. Sarcasm is loading. I thought, I'd like that t-shirt, but I need to not get it, okay? But a friend of mine, we decided we were being overly sarcastic. So we agreed. That open spot, both of us knew that we were because, you know, we were terrible. We got together and we were terrible and we made each other feel bad and we're both pretty tough skin. So we worked on it and it did get better. So if you think I'm kind of sarcastic, you should have seen me beforehand, okay? But it's an open area. It's something you want to work on. It may be something you don't want to work on, but you want help and so you share it with somebody, okay? It may be something that you really enjoy doing and you want to share it with somebody and you want to find somebody else that enjoys doing that so that you can enjoy it together. I enjoy music. Kelsey enjoys music. Melita enjoys music. A lot of people that I know, I love to find people and I love to enjoy music together with them, especially worship music. Not doing the 70s rock scene anymore very much. Okay. But I love worship music because it really, really, really fills something inside of me. And I feel that closeness with other people. That's the open area. In Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, it says this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, which is Jesus Christ. For he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Okay? And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. How we can spur one another on to good. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, in that open area, you got to be around other people that are encouraging the positive things in your life in order to spur one another on. Now, those of us that have got a Western background, okay, are going to enjoy that spurring one another on. How many of you know there are different kinds of spurs? There are training spurs, there are small hackle spurs, there are large hackle spurs, there are spurs that will get any horse's attention instantly spurs, okay? Now, when I read this for the first time, I saw all the different, you know, I thought that and I thought, what type of spur do my friends need to use on me? Hopefully it's just the one that give you a little bit of nudge, you know, not the ones that are going to leave blood, right? But that word is, we think, whoa, spur one another. But spur means to encourage into a right activity or right attitude. Because it's easy for us to get into a wrong activity or attitude. And so we need to be in that open area with one another and spurring one. And it says, and even more as the times progress. I mean, right now, what is the enemy trying to do to the church and to humanity as a whole? Separate them and isolate them. Take their identity away from them. All of those things. You know, you can call it social distancing. You can call it, you know, being careful. You can call it whatever you want to do. But psychologically, there are things going on here that even the most secular worldly psychologists will not refute. And that is, it's you, when you isolate people, things happen that aren't healthy. And so God's saying, I don't want you to isolate yourself. I want you to spur one another on, to encourage one another into that positive self. So that's what the open area is all about. Knowing what you know and other people knowing what you know. Now the second area is that we're going to look at today is known by self but unknown to others. Whoa, we got a lot of that going on, don't we, in our lives? Known by self but unknown to others. Things you know about yourself that you do not feel comfortable sharing with others. Good and bad. Okay? You know, we all know we have bad thoughts. We have bad things going on. We don't like to share with others. Okay? A couple weeks ago, I was very, very frustrated. I think I communicated that well. I was very, very frustrated. That's what I was saying on the inside, or on the outside. On the inside, I was saying, I would like to punch this person in the face. And I got through this situation, and I sat down my break time, and I got out my devotion, and it was, you know, it was really good. And I called Cindy, and I was talking with Cindy, and she goes, I just had a devotion from Charles Swindoll, and you're never going to believe what he said. He said that sometimes we're going to feel like punching people in the face, but we can't. Thank you, Cindy, so very much. I just laughed because a hidden part of me was not hidden from God. God knew it. God knew I needed encouragement, and he gave it to me. Now, that is something bad, and that's all I'm going to share on the bad side because we all know what our badness is. How about the good side? You've got something hidden, okay, that you have a dream. You have something that you'd like to do, but you're afraid that maybe you would fail at it, or you're afraid that you wouldn't be as good as you really want to be, or you're afraid that you got to start someplace. And a lot of times where you need to start is you need to share this with a close friend. It's hidden. Share them and say, you know, I really would like to do this. Would you pray for me? Would you help me in this? Because so many times what we need is we need a little help. We need God help. We need Holy Spirit help. But we need human help. We need somebody with skin on that's got Jesus inside of them too, so that they can come to us and they can support us. You see, Satan loves for things to be kept in the dark, because when things are in the dark, our dreams die there. Okay? Our spirit, our soul, and our body dies in the dark. If you go lock yourself up in a dark room, you spiritually die, you mentally die, you physically die. If you totally separate yourself from God and everything, you can be locked up in a cell and you can spiritually grow too. Because you could spend all your time praying like a lot of the martyrs and a lot of the Christians in third worlds that are imprisoned for their faith do. But Satan likes things to be in the dark. He likes them to be hidden. James 5, 13 through 16, I'm going to read this scripture, and I want to pull something out of this that I've never seen before, and I think that a lot of us have never seen it before. James 5, 13 through 16, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When we read this scripture in context, we see what we are to share with one another. We're to share our troubles. We're to share our victories. We're to share our sicknesses and our sins. And we're to ask for help. I've got troubles. Will you help me? I've got a victory. Will you help me praise God in this victory? I've got... sin. Would you help me? I've got sickness. Will you help me? Now, here's what I want to pull out of this scripture that I've never seen before. You see, when God says He's going to heal, He heals spirit, soul, and body. And I've heard this scripture used time and time again, and this is a great scripture to use for physical healing. But if we look at the depth of the Greek meaning of this word here, of sickness, we're going to find out something that maybe we never knew before. The root word, the primary meaning for this word sickness, is to be weak and worn out. It doesn't mean you necessarily have cancer. Doesn't mean that you have, you know, COVID. It doesn't mean that you're fighting some, you know, long. It just might mean you're sick, you're weak, and you're worn out. If you're weak and you're worn out, you're not healthy, right? And if you're not healthy, what are you? Sick. You're weak and worn out. What God is telling us in this is, I am the God that can heal everything. And so many times, we don't go to God with weak and worn out. Huh? You know how I know that? Because I see people that are weak and worn out, and they never ask me for prayer. I usually offer it. I see a lot of people go by my mailroom weak and worn out. And you want to know something? If I know them, I say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, okay. I said, now you don't look okay. I'm going to pray for you. And they're getting so used to it now, they're either avoiding me or coming and seeing me. And I don't care. Either way. I had a student come Friday afternoon. I was just locking things up. And they came down and they said, Jim, would you pray for us this weekend? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, you know, you don't expect this, you know. Sure, what's up? Well, we're going to go four-wheeling, and we're all klutzes, and we don't want to die. I said, okay. They were weak and worn out, but they needed prayer. You see, when we're weak and worn out, we don't usually go. We just think, oh, you know, I'm going to just get alone by myself, and I'm going to get introspective, and Satan's going to get you in the dark, and he's going to kill you if you're weak and worn out, and if you don't go ask for help. If you don't ask God for help, and if you don't ask your friends for help. You got a lot of friends. You know? I mean, my goodness, you got awesome friends. Think about it. Think about all the awesome friends you have. They put up with you. They put up with me. We have awesome friends. And God is saying, I want you to go. And when you're weak and worn out, I want you to pray for one another. I want you to share that victory. Because when we're weak and worn out, we get on the other side of it. Then what do we get to do? We get to share in the victory. Isn't it awesome? And that's all in that, go ahead and put that up again. That's all in that little hidden area. That little hidden area, that weak and worn out. You know, see what we are to share with one another, that hidden area. We need to share. And it's hard. You know why? You know why it's hard? Because we don't want people to know that we're weak and worn out. It's very hard. I mean, crying out loud. We're Midwesterners, right? We're settlers. We just settle for whatever, right? Yeah. No, we're not. We're Christians. We are the children of God. So I want us to read the scripture again real quick. And instead of sickness, we're going to put weak and worn out. Are you ready for this? Is anyone among you in trouble and weak and worn out? Then let him pray. Is anyone happy because they're not weak and worn out? Well, then let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you weak and worn out? Well, then let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the weak and worn out person well. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins, your weaknesses, your worn outness to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Sometimes I don't feel very righteous and I don't feel very powerful and I don't feel very effective, but I always have a friend who's there for me. Many of you have prayed for me over and over and over again. I've prayed for all of you over and over and over again. We take turns being powerful and effective. And we need each other. So this week, here's what I want you to do. Yes, next week there will be a pop quiz. So yeah, there'll probably be three of us here in church next week. Oh, I didn't do my pop quiz. I can't go to church, right? Okay? So I want you to encourage someone to press into the things that God is evident, that is evident in their life, okay? Encourage someone to press into the things of God that are evident in their life, that they know about and you know about. Somebody, you know, just say, wow, you keep doing that. You keep doing that. That's awesome. I love it the way you encourage. I love the way that you're positive. I love the way that you follow God, okay? And if you're weak and worn out, this is the second thing I want you to do. Share it with somebody. You know, and if they stop and say, okay, I'll pray for you, that's great. And if they go, ah, and they run away from you, find somebody else, okay? But if you're weak and worn out, share it with someone and ask them to pray for you, okay? Because the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And if you know someone or meet someone that is weak and worn out, pray for them. Pray for them. It's not very hard to tell when somebody's weak and worn out. We look weak and worn out on the outside. None of us have a poker face when it comes to weak and worn out. You know, some people try and they're like, how are you? I'm fine. No, you're not. You're not good. But find somebody and pray for them. Or if you know of somebody, pray for them. And then call them up and say, hey, you know, you came into my mind and I'm praying for you. I love you. I care for you. I'm praying for you. So those things, we're going to work on the open and the hidden. And next week, we're going to work on the blind spot and the unknown by, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Because everyone's like, oh, man, I don't want to know my blind spot. You know? Oh, we're going to have fun next week. Trust me. But God loves us. God loves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is unknown to you. Nothing is hidden from you. And Father, we come to you and we ask you, Lord, to help us to share with one another the good things, the weaknesses, the needs, Lord, to share with one another so that we can build up one another. We can spur one another on to good works, to those things, Lord, that make you very, very, very happy, very, very proud of us. Father, help us to do that, and help us, Lord, to see the weakness in others and to be there for them and to pray for them and with them, Lord. And open up our lives to us so that we can be known by you and so that we can know ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.